your word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and to sit at your feet
and to enjoy it. And, Lord, to meditate upon it, to be instructed by it, to have our eyes opened. So, Father, we pray right now for Pastor John, and we ask that you, anoint him and bless him. We thank you for the word that he's about to bring forth. Lord, let it be brought forth in power, in might. Father, we receive it and let us act upon it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen. Hallelujah. Over the past couple months, if you've been around at all, you know that we've been talking about Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. What we've learned so far is that this fruit, really what it does is it represents the character of Christ, and what it is, what's happening is it's being cultivated inside of us as we are growing and maturing and being transformed into the image of Christ. Romans 8:5 tells us that those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Galatians 5:16, so I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Move down a little further to verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So as we live, as we are led by the Spirit of God, what happens is we begin to see this fruit developing and maturing in us, and we see that we really are changed. We actually start to change. If we allow God to work in us, we can change. You know, a lot of people always say, well, people just don't change. Well, people do change. I'll tell you what, I'm nothing like I used to be when I was younger. And I'm sure many of you are the same. You've really changed. God will transform us by the power of His Spirit. That's His promise in His Word. Last week we started to look at the goodness of God, the fruit goodness. And we saw that goodness is an integral part of God's character. It's a very important aspect of His love, that goodness that's in there. We need that goodness in there. We're thankful for that goodness in there. The word goodness has to do with moral excellence, with moral perfection, being so good. Every virtue, being virtuous. True goodness means that every virtue, every morally excellent trait is brought to the maximum point of perfection. Now think about that. Obviously, true goodness can only be found in one place, right? In God Himself. Nobody else has developed all the different virtues that there are. A man named William Bennett, he made wrote a book called The Book of Virtues. I don't know if you remember. It was a big, thick book. There's a lot of virtues and a lot of things that are virtuous, good traits. And God has every one of them developed. It's a great book for your kids if you ever want to read. It's called The Book of Virtues, and it goes through all the different virtues that, and it's a really an excellent book. We bought it years and years ago, and I used to read it to my kids at night, and when we before they would go to bed, we'd read different little stories, and we would read that. I'd read some of that too to teach them the different virtues, what are important. So, like I said, obviously, true goodness can only originate from one source, and that is God Himself. Only in God, only in Him could we ever find pure goodness, where everything is at the absolute peak of perfection. And there's a scripture in James 1:7 that tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from our Father. all the good things, everything that's good, came from God. If you remember when God, the Creator, created the world, how many times did He say, this is good, it's good, it's good? And it is God, and this is what we need to get a hold of, is it's God is the one who determines what is good, not us. See, we need to understand, that's our job, is to understand God, to get this knowledge of God, this understanding of God, so that we can understand what good really is. We need to be able to understand that God's purposes are good, that His plans are good, and His plans for us are good. We should know the scripture in Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. See, God is always working for good. He wants to bring about good on the earth, and He wants especially to bring good in us. He wants to share the goodness, His goodness, with us. Sometimes it seems like this world that we live in has no idea of what is good or what is not good. And more, and you know this is true, more and more we see that good is called evil and evil is called good. Everything's being turned upside down because they don't know God, and so they don't know what is truly good. That's why it says in Romans 12:2, it's telling us, and it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, God wants us to understand His good will. God's will is good. It is pleasing. It's perfect. It's good for us. And the only way we can actually see this is when we're transformed by the Holy Spirit. As we begin to change, as this transformation begins to take place in us and our mind is renewed, then we see it. We recognize it. We know it. Instinctively then, we'll know it. We'll see it. That's good. That's not good. That's how we should be able to, as Christians, we should be able to operate that way and pick up on what is good and what is not good very easily. Maybe every once in a while it might be a little hard, but for the most part, we should be able to catch it by the Spirit. God proved His goodness to us beyond any shadow of a doubt when He sent His Son, Jesus, to come to this earth and to die for us. And it was Jesus then who, when He came, if you remember what He did, He came proclaiming something called the what? Anybody remember? No? The good news. The good news of the kingdom. The good news of salvation. See, God wants us to know the goodness that He has for us, this good news, because He's a good God. Hebrews 1:3 says that the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. Now, if Jesus was basically, they were saying that He was God's representation of goodness. If you know about Jesus, it says that everything He did, He went about doing good. Everything Jesus did was good. Jesus never sinned. He didn't do things that were bad. He wasn't a secret closet bad guy. He was good from the very beginning until the day He died. He did what was good, and what was good was what the Father wanted. That's what's good. God's will. That's what's good. Obeying God's word, following His purpose, following His plans, honoring God. This is what's good. So He knew what to do because He was in tune with the Father, and He was able to demonstrate that to us through His life on this earth here. Acts 10:38 tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. Why or how? Because God was with him. He displayed God's goodness in all its greatness, in all its glory. We were able to see this goodness personified right before people were able to see it. And so what we've seen so far is what goodness is, We've seen that God is good. We've seen that His goodness has been poured out through His Son onto us and through the gift of salvation. And we've also been given a living example of that in Jesus. But what about us? What about you and me? Can we, as mere humans, can we be expected, honestly now, can we be expected to walk in this goodness? Can we be as good as Jesus and walk around in goodness? Can we do good works? Can we do these things? Well, there's a scripture, and we might ask ourselves, well, how can we do this, especially in light of this particular scripture? Genesis 8:21 says that every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. I know when I was a kid, that was my heart. I didn't want to obey. You know, evil doesn't mean I went around stabbing people and, you know, freaking people out and doing all these terrible things, but I was doing what I wanted, not what I was supposed to do. When I was a child, I didn't care what my parents wanted. I mean, I did, and I mean to a degree, but I still wanted to do what I wanted. And so when they weren't there, when they weren't looking, I did what I wanted. Didn't we all do that? That's what kids do. Most kids. At some point or another, and even at, what does it tell us? Even if we break the law once, we've broken the law. And I don't think there's any kid who's 100% perfect, right? Anybody in here? Am I talking to the wrong group? Is anybody in here who was ever 100% as a kid? I don't think so. So we can't fool ourselves into thinking that we're a good person. You know, sometimes you talk to people that aren't Christians, and if you start talking about heaven, you ever get this line? Well, I'm going to go to heaven. Why? Well, because I'm basically a good person. You ever hear that? I used to say that all the time. That's what I used to think. I'm a good person. I'm going. And, you know, and as far as the world was concerned, I was good. I treated people nice. I was respectful. I did my job. I did things that I was supposed to do. So according to the world's standards, I was good. But not according to God's standards. Because I wasn't listening to God at all. I had no relationship with Him. So I wasn't good according to God. So we can't fool ourselves into thinking that we're good just because we fit into the world's mold. Matthew 19:17 says, there is only one who is good. There's only one. In the natural realm, there is no way for us to be good. Romans 8:8 tells us that in the sinful nature, it is impossible to please God. So we need to get that. One of the first things into our mind is that in the natural realm, when we operate in the flesh, doesn't matter how nice we are, that doesn't mean it's God's will. It doesn't matter how many good deeds we've done. It doesn't matter how many little old ladies we helped across the street. It doesn't matter how many little babies we helped get up or rescued somebody or did this or saved the whales or, you know, whatever it was that we did. Because the things in the flesh don't necessarily count towards what God is looking for. Matthew 7:22, if you remember this, it says that many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And here's Jesus talking, and he says, then I will tell you them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And these guys were doing what would look like Christian works, right? But because they weren't doing it in response to God's leading, they weren't doing it as they were led by the Spirit, they were just doing it for whatever reason, and many of them probably for their own glory, Jesus said, get away from me, you evildoer. So see, the things in the flesh, no matter what they look like, they don't count. Only God can enable us to walk in goodness. It's a fruit of the Spirit. That's what we're talking about. So if it's a fruit of the Spirit, that means only the Holy Spirit can direct us in doing what is truly good. Luke 11:13 tells us that the Holy Spirit is a good gift given to us by our Heavenly Father. And the reason that God did this is because He wants His goodness birthed inside of us. He wants us to have that goodness in us the same as it was in Jesus. And believe me, it can. This is how we will bring glory and honor to our Father, just like Jesus did. We can do that. We can do that. Every one of us here can do that. This is how we become God's agents for good. I love that phrase, thinking of we're not like secret agents, but we're agents for good. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 tells us that, 13 and 14, says that Jesus, actually at the end of 13, Jesus Christ gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people. God's always been looking for a people. So Jesus Christ gave Himself to get this people. Why? This people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. Did you ever hear that scripture before? Jesus basically says, I died so that I can have a people that will be eager to do good. Does that describe us? Do we recognize, first off, that we belong to Jesus? That He bought us, He paid the penalty, He released us from the debt of death. He redeemed us. That means He got us. We belong to His. That's what we need to remember. We belong to Jesus. If we're a Christian, we belong to Jesus. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. And He's looking for a people who are eager to do good. Does that describe us? Are we eager to do good? Are we looking for opportunities to do good? We wonder, can I be that type of person? With all my faults and all my failures, do I have it in me? Do I have what it takes to be good? To do good? 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You see how this is not just a random scripture. I had over 100 scriptures I could have used. I only used 99 of them. Yeah, there you go. I'm trying to save you. God will give us the ability through the Holy Spirit to do every good work that He wants us to do, that He's called us to do. It's not us. And what we need to recognize is it's not us. It's not this flesh that's going to do the good. It's not us it's God's goodness flowing through us. God's goodness is real. It shines on us like the sunshine coming down. It's always flowing. It's always there. And He wants it to come through the Holy Spirit. It just pours into us. And then the Holy Spirit will lead us and direct us to expose that goodness, to declare, to show forth, to perform that goodness wherever God wants it. We've been called, we've been chosen, we've been anointed, and we've been appointed to be God's ambassadors of goodness. He wants us to get that out there. The fruit, when we're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, it gives us a tendency or an inclination or a disposition to want to share His goodness with others. This is really important to God. That's why there's so many scriptures about us being good and doing good. God is very serious about wanting to share His goodness with other people, and the way He does it is through us. What a great way to reveal God. You're sitting in an oil change place, or you're in line at the grocery store, you're at the library, you're at work, you're wherever you are. And we look for opportunities to do something good for somebody, to be kind to them, to show God's love, show His goodness. The goodness is the character of that love. We try to do it with the most excellent attitude that we can bring forth, and as we are led by the Spirit, that's how it'll come out. His word is very clear about this. Paul tells us in Romans 16:19, I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. Romans 12:9, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Cling to it. Hold on to it. 3 John 1:11, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Now here's one that really should hit every one of us. If anyone then knows the good thing they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Sin of omission. If God speaks to us, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, He says, I want you to do that. And we think about it and we say, yeah, I should do that. And then we say, nah, it's a sin. Because you got to remember what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. We just missed the mark. We just missed God's best. And because we missed it on purpose, it was sin. Doesn't mean we did some terrible, wicked thing. It means we missed out. We lost. They lost and we lost. Because whenever we do good for God, remember, whenever you give, it gets back to you, right? You give it yourself, it comes back pressed down and running over. You sow, you reap. We can't outgive God. So whenever we show goodness, then there's room for more of God's goodness to pour into us. We never lose when we do something good. Maybe sometimes we feel we tried to be good. Well, I tried that. I really tried to be good, but you know what? I didn't see any results. I didn't see what I expected. I didn't see what I wanted, so I did this good. If it didn't work, then why should I bother? Or maybe we go on a trip to help somebody. We get a flat. That's the last time I'm doing something good for somebody. I got a flat tire last time. I mean, I've heard things like that from people all my life. You know, they set out to do something that they thought was nice. They were going beyond themselves and finally trying to be nice, and then something bad happened. Who do you think did that? I don't think it was God. Or maybe it was God. Maybe God was trying to teach him to overcome obstacles. Or it could have been the devil. Who knows? It doesn't matter. What God wants is to do good. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. If we give up, we'll never reap the harvest. Besides that, how do we know what results that God was looking for? Well, we think we know it all. We're not doing this good for us. See, that's the problem. We do something good and we're expecting something right away for us. We want this big appreciation. We want money. We want fame. We want glory. We want this. We want that. We want at least recognition that I did something good or some kind of results. And then we don't see results and we say, last time I'm doing that. And God says, don't get weary. Don't get weary at the proper time. It's God's timing. It doesn't mean in our time. You remember the scripture in Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God's just looking for people who are eager to do good for Him. And we leave the results up to Him. We leave the results to Him. He wants us to be eager to share that goodness. He wants everyone to have a chance to be, you know, to be, because we're going to be blessed. So He wants us to have this chance to share His goodness. And He wants those people to have a chance to experience that goodness. Did you ever hear the scripture that says, taste and see that the Lord is good? See, when we share that goodness with somebody, we give them a little taste. We give them. There are way too many people around us that we come into contact with every day. We come in contact with them all over the place, and they've never tasted the goodness of God. It's just like there are people out there who still haven't tasted good perch. You know? I try to share it with as many people as possible, you know? And I do my best to help them. Well, it's, you know, and it's just like sharing God's goodness. How many different things do we as people we try to share. We all do it. I'm joking about the perch, but you know, we're always trying to share our favorite sports person. We're trying to share our favorite, you know, team or the virtues of something or some band or some, you know, speaker or some movie or some book or whatever it is. And we try to tell, oh, you should try this. You should read this. You should do this. You should go there. We're trying to share that so that they can taste it and see it's good. Well, God's saying, give them me. Share my goodness so they can taste it. Those things will never welcome someone into the kingdom of God. When we do good to another for the love of God, we give them a taste of God. We show them some aspect of His character, His love or His kindness, whatever it is, His patience, His gentleness, something of God. It comes out when we do that good thing for them. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. See, when they see these good things, and don't be afraid to let them know. Lord, you know, end it with maybe, hey, glory to God, or, you know, bless you, or, you know, they say, thank you so much. You say, thanks be to God, or, you know, God bless you. You know, say something where they realize it's from God. Remember when Moses, he asked God to show him His glory? Remember that story? And it was in Exodus chapter 33. And so God says, well, I'll tell you what. I'll place you in a rock and then I'll pass by you. Now, there's a clue right there too. He's placed him in the cleft in the rock. And the rock, which is Christ, it represents Christ. See, in Christ, we can see the glory of God or the goodness of God. And He says, and I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you. Moses said, show me your glory. God responds with, I'll show you my goodness. Moses saw the goodness of God. He saw the glory. And then after that, we see later on in the next chapter, and that it's talking about every time Moses went into God's presence, after he recognized His glory and His goodness, he became radiant. He became so radiant that he would wear this veil over his face because it sort of freaked people out. When we spend time with God, when we get before Him, we get into His presence, and the Holy Spirit is moving through us, we radiate God's love. It just sort of comes out of us. And then we become attractive to people. And I don't mean in a physical, lustful kind of way, but people want to be around you. When you're not hitting them over the head with the Bible and throwing scriptures at them and condemning them and trying to be legalistic and righteous, self-righteous, that kind of thing. But when we love them and we show them and God's goodness, and they get to experience the goodness, the joy, the love, the peace, the patience, kindness, all these things, when they get to experience that good thing from God, they really enjoy it. I talked to a Muslim friend of mine yesterday, and he's just had an operation, a heart bypass, and he called me up. I had called him and left a couple messages, told him I was trying to get a hold of him, and I've been praying for him. I told him I pray in Jesus' name, lay my hand on him and stuff, and he called me and he said, it's so good to talk to you. I missed you. He says, maybe in a couple of days we can get together and sit down and talk. I missed you. I might be a nice guy, but what he's really missing is God in me. He's missing God in me because he's a Muslim, but he's not one of these, like, super, he doesn't do all the different stuff that they do. And he has this hunger for God. He's just in the wrong religion. He's in the wrong religion. He needs to get in the right religion. So that's what I'm praying for him. We can show people in this evil world that we live in that there is goodness. There is. There's still all kinds of good in this world. And you know what the best in this world is? Is you guys. You are a representation of God's goodness. Where else are people going to get it? There is a God. He's real. He's good. And He wants every one of us to share in that abundant goodness. He enables us to do good works. He gives us the power. And the reason He does that is so we can share it. So I'm going to call the prayer team forward. While they're coming up, I just want you to think about this. Maybe you feel like you've missed out on God's goodness. I just haven't felt God's goodness. I don't know, I just feel like I haven't experienced it. I haven't really felt God's done anything good for me lately. Well, I'm telling you, God wants to share His goodness with you. He wants to release His goodness into you. He wants His goodness to shine on you. He wants it to, you know, infiltrate you. He wants it to overwhelm you. His goodness is always present, always available. It's infinite. It's unlimited. It's everlasting. But God's not going to ram it down our throats. What we need to do is we need to come to Him just like the prodigal son did. He humbled himself. He came with sincerity. He came repentant, and he came ready to receive. He was hopeful. It overwhelmed him when he got more than he expected. He didn't expect to be actually called a son again and welcomed to be part of the family again. But you know what? That's what God wants to do with each one of us. He wants to shower us with His goodness. He wants us to be ready to put aside our own selfish desires, our own carnal nature, because that's the block. It's like a wall that goes up. When we are operating in that selfish, carnal nature, there is a shield around us that stops God's goodness. It stops so many things from flowing into our life. So we have to be ready to put that aside and be willing to do what Jesus said, to die to ourselves, take up our cross and die, so that we can live for Him, live for Christ, and be led by His Holy Spirit. And we need to know that the God of heaven, our God, our Father, is filled, He's overflowing with desire to shower you with His goodness. He is, I'm telling you. He wants to put that goodness on you. He wants to do it every day. He's not holding back. He's not holding it in reserve. He's not waiting. I'm not going to give it to him now. I'm going to wait a few years. Then maybe they'll do it. No. He wants to give His goodness now when we put ourselves in the right position. Just like when we go out in the sun. I mentioned that a couple weeks ago. You get out there in the sun. You lay out there in that lounge chair. The sun comes on you. You go hide in the shade. You don't get it. Prepare yourself to be blessed. Prepare yourself to be blessed. And you can start that right now as you come forward and get some prayer. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. We thank You that You are a good God and You want to share that goodness with us, Lord God. We thank You for Your many, many, many blessings, Lord God, that the blessings that You've already poured out on us. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to walk in that goodness, to share that goodness with other people, Lord. There are so many people around us that need to see You as a good God. Help us, Lord, to be that blessing, to share that good so that You would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.
The ballpark, but lately he ain't coming round. Things have been so different since his youngest boy left town. I heaven and hear the noise inside. The sound of angels are the sound of angels' songs, and all this for a king. We could join and sing all to Christ the King. How constant, how divine, this song of ours will rise. How constant, how divine, this love of ours.